welcome to Uncluttered, the podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not just how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint to leave the chaos and the clutter in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch, an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and home to make room for what matters most? If so, let's dive in. So, Angie, in just a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Mother's Day, and a day that's special for both of us because we each have two girls, although I guess we shouldn't call them girls or adult women now, but I know in our minds, they will always be little girls.
Absolutely. Yes. It's hard to believe that we have two adult daughters. Yeah. It's crazy.
I know. I don't look a day over 25, so I don't know why anybody would have it.
Yeah. So Mother's Day is great. It's a perfect excuse, opportunity to both love on my own mom, whose name is Judy, and lives close to me, and as well as to connect with my two daughters, Emma and Lydia, who don't live so close, but being a mother is a joy. So Mother's Day is a great holiday.
It is. That's true. I'm so blessed by Mother's Day. My mom passed away a long time ago. I do have a stepmom that I do get to celebrate, but I am blessed beyond measure like you with Kaylee and Abby, my daughters. And I love that we get to, even though we don't get to share it in person most of the time because they live in different cities and states, it is a special day to celebrate. So I'm grateful. But I know that you and I could talk about being mothers and gushing on our children all day long, but I know we won't, we don't want to subject our listeners to all that. But we are going to be talking about kids today in a different sense, and that we're going to be talking about organizing your kids' work and play, because you and I both know that that is a challenging area as parents to deal with all the stuff that kids bring into their home, whether it's test papers, handwriting practice, or beloved toys. And because it's such a big topic, we're breaking this down into two episodes. So today we're going to be talking about one topic, which is toys and play stuff. And then the next episode, we'll be talking about artwork, schoolwork, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Yeah. So it is a lot. And if we don't address it and get some systems in place quickly, it can be just completely overwhelming. And I know for me, when I get overwhelmed, I just am paralyzed. I do nothing. And so then that makes it even worse because it continues to pile us up and you feel guilty. And anyway, so we want to deal with it quickly. And we don't want to think that do like some people do. Well, it's hard to make decisions what to keep and not to keep. So I'll just keep everything. And then when they grow up, I'll just be able to give that all to them. They'll be so excited, but no, they won't be excited. It'll just be like this major pile of the past, and they'll feel like it's just been dumped on them.
Yeah, that's true. It's so true. And so rather than pass on this stack of unwanted stuff, just imagine in my mind, if I did that to my girls, they would just be like, what is this? And why did you keep it? You know? Yeah. And then I'm thinking these are all these precious memories, and they're just going to go, toss it in the trash. I don't really want it, you know? So let's avoid that with our children and our listeners' children. And rather than pass on stacks of unwanted stuff, today we're going to help you guys call the important from the unimportant. So when you do give it, whether it's a essay they wrote or, you know, a handprint when they were little, or maybe just a beloved stuffed animal, it's more of a treasured memory than just treasure.
Okay? Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So if we're going to help them, then we got to get started. We have a lot of ground to cover. So if you want to start us off, Leanna, that would be great.
Yes, definitely. We have a lot to talk about. But as always, before we dig in, we want to remember that everything we share on the Uncluttered podcast is rooted in God's word. And so for today's episode, the verse we want to keep in mind is Proverbs 22:6, which says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And while we're talking to mainly the parents today, because obviously I doubt we have any kid listeners, although that would be great, It's important to remember that training a child is also training them to be organized too. Mm-hmm. It's one of our responsibilities as parents. And I think a lot of times parents don't think about that. They think, oh, they'll learn that in school, or it's their personality. So they're going to have it or they're not. And you and I have talked about it many times, is that this is a learned skill and we're not teaching it in school. I can promise you, Angie and I are both former school teachers. And, there were 30 kids in a classroom. I couldn't individually cater to their learning styles to help them get organized. So really it does fall on the parents. And so you may not think about it as a parent, and you may not think that it's important to the kid, but in time they will learn these skills if you train them up in them. I promise you, I know it took my daughters a very long time to grasp it, but they finally have. I don't know about your daughters, whether how they're organized or not, but anyway, just know that as a parent, it's your responsibility to train them up in many ways, including being organized. So now that we have that understanding, let's keep going, Angie. Get us started.
All right. So we are going to first start, as we said, this episode is going to be all about corralling our kids' play. So primarily we're talking about toys or other things they do in their spare time. And the first problem that we have with this is the problem we have with really just about any category, and that is that we have too much stuff. So a recent Time Magazine article learned this fact that just never ceases to amaze me. So if you think about how many children there are in the world, the United States has only about 3% of the kids' population of the world. But U.S. families buy more than 40% of the toys purchased globally. So that is just mind-boggling. We only have 3% of the kids, but we buy over 40% of the toys.
Yeah.
So no doubt our kids are growing up with too much stuff. And then that tends to overstimulate them, stressing them out, stressing us out. And not having enough space, and it's a perfect combination for chaos. So the first step that we're going to talk about is just corralling our kids' stuff to start sorting and getting rid of some things, just like we do with our personal items. So we always recommend to figure out a small section or a small space and begin that process of sorting like with like. And that's going to allow you to be able to say how many of each type of toy you have. And so when you're able to see like how many Legos, how many craft supplies, how many cars, how many this and that, it's easier to determine what is going to stay and what can be let go.
And I like that you said small, because a lot of times parents in our minds, we think, oh, we're going to go tackle the playroom today. Right. And then, they start, and then the kids, who we highly encourage you to, if they're of age, to include them in this process, they get tired and worn out and just want to do it. So really prepare yourself for when you're doing, whether it's toys or paperwork, that it's going to be a slow process and you have to start small. Once you've sorted everything into those light groups, then you need to start the purging process. And we encourage you to do that with a list of questions to either ask yourself or, like I said, ask your kids. And these are their toys. Let them have a voice. Now, remember, they can be young and they want to keep everything. So you may have to, as a parent, have a fine line for them and tell them what they can and can't have. But anyway, here are a few questions we think you might want to ask. When was the last time you played with the toy? Do you enjoy playing with it? Is it age appropriate? Like, I know a lot of people who have 7, 8-year-olds that still have toddler toys, for 2 and 3-year-olds in their playroom. And we get that you may be holding on to it for, more children down the line, which is fine. But, it's taking up, it's creating clutter and taking up space when it's not being used. So is it age appropriate? Is it in good condition? We always want to be safe with our kids, and having sharp edges or, broken pieces is not really great for kids in that environment. And if it has missing parts or pieces, well, then that's no fun for the kids either, because they're playing and they don't get the full experience. So you want to keep that in mind. And then finally, do we have duplicates? I mean, Barbie, we all know from the Barbie movie, there are a lot of Barbies, right? You got the this Barbie and the that Barbie and the Dr. Barbie and the veterinarian Barbie. So we can have duplicates, right? But do we have duplicates of, you know, the same kind? And how many do we really need, or can you really play with all at once? So, you know, some questions that you need to be asking when you're going through this process. And like I said, don't be afraid of limiting the number of toys your child has. Because just as kids need boundaries in other parts of their lives, right? We don't want them going out to the street. We put up a boundary for that, for their safety. The same can be said with their toys, right? Like Angie mentioned, because they have so much, they get overwhelmed and they don't know how to play. And so it stifles their creativity and their fun because it's just so much. So maybe just let them know when you're going through this process, hey, we've got all of these, you know, we've got 20 Barbies. You know, which are your favorite 10? You know, 8, whatever. And then, you know, let them pick those out. And then, you know, you can either donate the rest or, you know, do something else with them.
Yeah. And I love that idea of being very specific with a number. Another great way to do it is to base it on the space that you have decided to set aside for a particular thing. And that way you make the space the main thing. Party. So, you know, like, okay, we've got this container for this category of stuff. So, and we're not going to do more than that. So let's pull them all out and let's put your favorites in. Then when it's full, it's full. That's all we have. So, but establishing those limits is great.
Yeah. And like you said, I mean, in that way, then the container becomes the guilty party and not the parent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know,
container's the bad guy, not you. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think you mentioned it when you and I were talking the other day, is that, you know, another thing to think about to do is, you know, if your child's having a hard time letting go of some things, maybe consider rotating them in, giving them some, you know, like we change out our clothes for fall, winter, spring, and summer, maybe, you know, rotate the toys out so that you still have the space, you're not overwhelmed. And it feels like Christmas every few months for your kids.
Yes. I love toy rotation. It's a great idea. Just put a few away. You're not getting rid of them. And then just switch them out. You know, just like we get tired of things, kids could do too. And so that allows you to have some variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're asking those questions, you want to keep them really specific. If you just have a broad question like, why do you want to keep it? Or do you like it? You know, instead of like, when's the last time you played with it? That kind of thing. It really helps to be more specific.
Yeah.
And then as far as scheduling when you're going to work, although Leanna and I could probably do like 8 hours of decluttering, we'd be great because we're all about that. Most people are not going to last that long, especially younger kids. So schedule more sessions, but shorter periods of time. You know, time limits your kids can handle or that you can handle. And don't think you're not going to be able to get it all done in one day. If it's a shorter period of time and not, more frequent, it's going to be more, you're going to have a better experience. So you can go, remember when we did that before and we did a couple of hours and then we did something fun? Well, let's do that again, you know, as opposed to remember last weekend when we were sitting there for 8 hours. stuff? Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And figure out ahead of time what the destination of the things that you're letting go. While some things, if they're broken or whatever, may just go to the trash. If you're going to donate, where are you going to take it? And figure out how to get things out of your house quickly, because we know there are kids that will grab them back and if they find them. So figure out your plan and put it in motion.
Yeah, there are kids and adults who do that too. So,
oh yeah, absolutely, chasing down the donation truck. I've changed my mind. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, those are some really good ideas and strategies for the first problem of too much stuff. And so now we need to go on to problem number two, And because I'm from Houston, I can say this, is that Houston, we have a problem. And that is that we don't have good storage systems in place, you know, and setting up good organizational systems for kids is so important. And I think what the problem is that we don't make it simple. You know, we are trying to, as parents, organize from an adult standpoint, and we don't think about it from a kid's standpoint. So you need to ask yourself, how can we organize the kids' toys in space, whether you're talking about your playroom or just their toys in a, even in their room, so that they can enjoy them and put them back when they, where they belong, by themselves, right? Because that's what we want to be able to, moms and dads shouldn't be the one having to clean up the toys. We need to make that responsibility for the kids, right? Their stuff, they're responsible for putting away. So for me, I think the easiest way, and again, going back to that teaching background we have, and having been in several kindergarten classes, I think the easiest way is to replicate a kindergarten classroom. And if you've been in a kindergarten classroom, you know that those are set up in zones, right? You have the puzzle zone, you have the doll zone, you have the dress up zone, the kitchen zone. And so that works for school teachers with who have 30 kids in a classroom, right? And it can work in your house too. And so you just need to set up zones. And I know, again, you think, oh, but that's so limiting to their play and creativity. It's not. Structure is good for kids. We have to get out of that mindset that it's not, because they're not having any fun when they are sitting in a pile of toys, right? And they are certainly not being creative because they have no idea where to go. So once you've got those sorted groups that you've now, you know, pulled out from every corner of the room and situated, then now is a good time to set up, okay, where are we going to put the dolls? Where are we going to put the, you know, the dresses? Where are we going to put the Legos? Where are we going to put the trucks? And try to put them in zones that make sense. Like in your clothes closet, right? You wouldn't want the skirt, some of your skirts mixed in with some of your t-shirts mixed in with some of your sweaters, right? We want all skirts together in a place where it makes sense. So that way you have a better idea of what kind of storage systems you need, right? If you have a large stack of dresses, you're going to need a little bit more space. Maybe you need some hanging space. And then maybe for the dolls, you want to put them in containers. So you're going to need to know what kind of stuff you have so that you can go on and get the right equipment, I guess you could say.
Right. Very good. Yeah. So once you have your zones, you've kind of sorted, put like with light, and you've got your zones, then for each zone, you're going to figure out what you need. And so many different options. Shelving, I especially love the ones with cubbies, removable bins and baskets. Those are so multi-purpose, can be used all over the place. And then when it comes to containers, you can do things without lids if you want to just do quick toss in and get out if you want to be able to access frequently, or lidded containers, you know, kind of keep things a little more corralled, and they can be stacked if needed. It's really, those are great for things with a lot of little parts or things that you don't have to get to quickly. Things that a lot of times kids will want to take toys from one area to another. So if you have some things that are easily portable, there are a lot of containers like that. So many different ideas. Get creative, and don't forget to take advantage of vertical wall space as well. You know, you could have some things with pockets on the backs of doors or whatever, although you do have to keep in mind how tall your kids are and what they can reach. And as well, as far as figuring out what things are where, keep safety in mind. If you've got some really tall shelving kind of thing, whether cubbies or whatever, a lot of times you're going to need to anchor that in the wall, especially if you've got kids that like to climb. Yes. I know I was a big time climber as a kid. So be sure and keep that in consideration, because if there's a way to climb on it, they'll figure it out.
Oh, for sure. Right. It'll be safe. Yeah. Okay. So we figured out what we're keeping. We figured out how we're storing it. There are a few other things before we start wrapping things up that you want to keep in mind. And the first is to clearly label everything. And that might seem odd for kids. I mean, for adults, clearly that's important. And if you listen to our episodes with our husbands, I talked about my husband and him knowing where to put the chips because there was a container that said chips. So, you know,
although he likes to mess with you and put it in a different place sometimes. Just
yes, exactly. It drives me crazy. But this helps kids know exactly where to put things back, and it sets them up for success when it comes to cleaning up. So, you know, it gets rid of that excuse. Well, I didn't know where to put it, so I just laid it down here, right? So if you have a container that has a picture of a Barbie or a picture of a truck or Legos, it's obvious to everybody where that goes. Even if they don't read yet, but I also encourage you to put the words underneath there here again, my teacher stuff, because then it helps them start identifying words and learning how to read. So, that's another thing. Like Angie mentioned, it's important to see things from the child's point of view, right? If you use a over the drawer pocket hanger and, you know, your kid can't reach, they're not going to be able to get that toy. So you might want to just get down on the floor and look around the room and look up and ask yourself, does this make sense for my kid? Because mostly sometimes you'll be surprised and find out, oh, no, it does not. And so it might show you some things you didn't think of. So, and then here's the other thing that's really, really important, and I learned this firsthand personally, is don't micro-organize. We can be so tempted as adults to want to put, you know, all the little Barbie shoes in one and all the little Barbie person. I use Barbies a lot because I had girls. So apologies to boy mom. But, you know, my children were not going to put the shoes back with the shoes and the purses back with the purses and all the accessories. It's not going to happen.
Lucky to get just Barbie stuff together. Right. Much less little micro categories. Yeah.
You know, so don't micro organize with your kids. Just remember, good and done is better than none. And then you also have to remember that kids aren't developmentally able to organize. There are, what do they call it? You know, organizational things that kids can do at certain ages. And at young ages, they just don't have the ability to organize like an adult. Don't expect them to be able to do things, and don't get upset when they can't. That's why we encourage you to make it as easy as possible and as simple as possible for them. But here's the key thing to know is that the more you do help your kids organize, then the more they're building that organizing muscle and will be able to grow their organizing skill.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so we are down to our third and final problem when it comes to dealing with kids' play stuff, and that is, how do we get the kids to clean up? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's right up there with, you know, who shot JFK, you know, some of those, what happened to Amelia Earhart? I mean, really big questions. Very challenging. And so I read this quote from a mother who said, "Toys have taken over my family room. I watch Mary Poppins, and no matter how many spoonfuls of sugar I eat, action figures won't march into a bin with a snap of my fingers."
Oh, that's great. I love that. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So, you know, Leah and I get it. We have been there. So have all the other parents. No judgment if you're struggling. And at different phases of your kids' lives, you know, they may be doing well, and all of a sudden they hit another stage and they're like, nope, not going to do it. So take heart. We know, we understand, and we are here to help with this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, my youngest daughter, Abby, and I, we butt heads so many times until it dawned on me, hello, she's not there yet. Or I haven't done something on my part to make it better for her. So, So, you know, here are a few things that you're going to want to remember when you want to restore order to your house. Okay. First is parents have to set the example.
So true.
Important, right? When you train a child up, you have to be the coach, right? You have to be the one leading the way. And so, you can't send mixed messages to your kids and tell them, go clean up your room, but your room is just as messy, right? Mm-hmm. Or if your child sees you lay things down and not put back where they belong, then guess what? They're going to lay things down and put them back, not put them back where they belong. And then you're going to wonder why you're start having problems with that. So remember to be the model and lead the way. And then instill habits of picking up. You know, I think one of the major mistakes we make as parents is we wait until the last minute at 7:55 at night, right before the kid's supposed to go to bed. And they're just too tired to pick up. And we're like, you know, no, well, we got to get this done before you go to bed. We can't, you know, have this messy. And then it's a meltdown, and then it's a power struggle, and then it's just all out war. So rather than have that, try to think about some ways to instill daily habits of picking up throughout the day. Maybe you do, you know, if they're still young and at home, you do before lunch, you know, or you do some cleanup before dinner and then one more time before bedtime, so that you're not having so much to clean up. And it gets rid of those hour-long sessions and those, you know, meltdowns that are inevitable, that nobody really wants, kids or parents.
Right. Absolutely. All right. And here are just a few more tips to help your kids participate in the cleanup. So we've talked about before, you've got to teach the skills. This is a skill that will develop over time. And the more you show them and teach them, the more they're going to learn. Like Leanna was talking about recently, you were talking about this whole cleanup thing. And if you send a kid to the room and say, okay, go clean your room. And we know what that expectation is, you know, that they will put toys away. They'll put, you know, clothes in the drawers or the dirty clothes basket or whatever, you know, we know what that means, but kids may not know, well, what does that exactly mean? So if you know, you need to kind of teach them really specifically, okay, what's the standard, and, you know, do it with them a few times so that they can't say, well, I didn't know what you meant, you know? So very, very specific.
And if they have a lot of mess, again, they can get overwhelmed. They have no idea where to start.
You know,
and so they just sit there and they look at things, and then they get distracted because they start playing with stuff. And then we walk in the room and they're like, why haven't you done anything? I mean, it took me a long time with Abby to figure that out, that I had to go, okay, Abby, I need you to go to your room and clean up. And why don't you start with your stuffed animals and put them all back where they belong, you know? And then once she had that done, I could check it and see what was going on. Like, okay, now let's do this part, you know, and that really makes a help.
And don't forget to reward your kids for their efforts. It doesn't have to be anything really big, but, you know, if they do a great job, say, okay, well, you know, well, let's make playtime 5 minutes longer. I mean, that's exciting. You know, I get to stay 5 minutes longer because I did a good job of cleanup. So, you know, spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. So make it fun, make it a game, give some rewards, and keep it a positive experience.
Yeah. And we're not encouraging you to bribe your children. That's not what we're trying to tell you to do. Right. But just like everybody wants to be rewarded for a job well done, even kids do too. And it doesn't have to be financial. Like Angie said, it could just be 5 more minutes of playtime. That's all it takes.
So, so that was a lot. Hopefully we've given you some tips to help your kids, to help you figure out how to bring some order to your kids' play areas. So before we close, let's just do a little bit of review. So when we're decluttering and organizing our kids' play, we're keeping in mind the biblical inspiration for this episode, which is Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And remember, we are training. This is a training thing. These are, when we teach these organizing skills, it is going to serve them through their whole lives. So, Leanna, what else?
We talked about the importance of having good organizational systems, you know, finding things that work for you, your kid, and your space. And then we also talked about just some last minute reminders of, you know, things that you can you'll want to keep in mind as well, in terms of labels, fun, you know, different things like that.
Right. And the whole thing of volume, the too much stuff and trying to winnow it down to what you can handle. Yes. So we hope this episode has given you the inspiration and the tools that you need to conquer this important challenge. We know you can do it. And feel free to reach out to us with questions. If you start trying to put some of these things into practice, you're like, this is not working. You know, we love hearing from our listeners. So shoot us an email, contact@uncluttered.faith. And we always encourage you to share this episode and our podcast. You know, you have family and friends that are struggling with the same things as you. So we would love for you to share. And so until next time, when we will conquer the kids' work, things that they can bring home from school, work, and artwork, always keep in mind that an uncluttered life is an abundant life.